Why don't you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Father, your word is power. Holy Spirit, work today through your word to impact our lives for the glory of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you're in control, that you're king, that you're good, that you love us, that you showed us that by going all the way to the cross to pay for our sins in full. And thank you that you're coming back for us. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. Lord, I pray for everyone struggling right now, everyone facing difficulty, those that are sick. Pray for your encouragement, your hope, your healing, your help. Pray that you would bless them. Turn our eyes to you. Help us to fix our gaze on our one true hope. And give us ears to hear today what you want to speak to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul's confronting in 2 Corinthians 11 the false apostles head on. And he is confronting the church for following them, for listening to them, for giving them an audience. He said back in chapter 11, verse 4, that they proclaim, these false apostles proclaim another Jesus, a different spirit, a different gospel. And the church is putting up with it. They are bearing with it well. And that's not a good thing. He labels these so-called super apostles as false apostles, deceitful workers, servants of Satan, who disguise themselves as genuine, but their works and their future judgment expose them as false. He warns the church that he fears for them, that they are in danger of being deceived by Satan, to forfeit a simple relationship with Jesus for a counterfeit. Counterfeit Jesus, a counterfeit gospel. But the problem in Corinth is there are some that had already been taken. They believe everything that the false teachers are telling them, which means that they question Paul's authenticity. They doubt Paul's integrity, which means they're not going to listen to what Paul says. Paul, as he said back in 1 Corinthians, is willing to become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. In Proverbs 26, there's some wisdom that I believe Paul applies to the situation in Corinth. It says, Proverbs 26, verse 4, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself." Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own estimation, in his own eyes. Do you answer a fool according to his folly? Do you not answer a fool according to his folly? Yes. Proverbs says you have to use wisdom. You don't want to be a fool, but you don't want to allow a fool to be wise in his own eyes. Paul is willing to risk being thought a fool if that's what it takes to get that church's attention, to point out their folly, to call them back to a single-hearted devotion to the real Jesus. The Corinthians are wise in their own eyes. They're puffed up, and they need a little humbling. Paul said in verse 1 of this chapter, "I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness." Do bear with me. And then in this center section, verses 7 to 15, he boasts about humbling himself by serving them free of charge. Here in verse 16, he comes back to this introductory comment from verse 1 to ask permission to do a little boasting. I repeat, verse 16, "Let no one think me foolish, but even if you do, accept me as a fool, so that I too may boast a little. What I'm saying with this boastful confidence, I say not as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many boast according to the flesh, I too will boast. For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourself. For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. Paul is willing to be considered a fool for Christ's sake. To let them think that they are wise, if that's what it takes to reach them, to point out the error of their way. Paul has just exposed the false teachers for who they are, wolves in sheep's clothing. Paul's now willing, as a lamb, to dress in wolves' clothing if they will put up with him that way and give him an audience and listen. But before he does, he lifts his disguise to show them and tell them clearly what he's about to do. Paul's about to launch into what he considers foolish boasting. And he makes it clear what he says not according to the Lord. Not according to the Lord. Because many are boasting according to the flesh. Back in chapter 1, verse 17, they were accusing Paul of making his plans according to the flesh. In chapter 10, verse 2, some were suspecting him of walking according to the flesh. But he says in chapter 10, verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we're human, we're not waging war according to the flesh, not after our fleshly desires, not in the pattern of the world. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Here he contrasts boasting according to the flesh with speaking according to the Lord. Now, most often in the New Testament, if you've read Romans, if you've read Galatians, Paul juxtaposes living or walking according to the flesh with living or walking according to the Spirit. That's his normal contrast. You're either walking according to the flesh, you're following your own fleshly desires, or you're being controlled by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is at work, manifesting itself in your life. Here he contrasts speaking in line with the way the Lord would speak against boasting after the manner of the flesh, after human wisdom, after a human worldly pattern. This is the way unbelieving people boast, he says, and it's foolish. It's not the way Jesus taught us to speak. Our Lord was no boaster, Charles Hodge says, and his Spirit does not lead anyone to boast. D.A. Carson writes, although no one ever made higher claims for himself than Jesus, he uttered those claims not as a mortal vainly striving for equality with God, but as the self-emptied Son bent on the business of bringing salvation to condemned sinners. Jesus taught us wisdom that is not of this world, indeed contrary to the principles of this world, and Paul is following that wisdom in humbling himself by becoming a fool to seek and to save the lost. In chapter 10, Paul refused to boast beyond limits, but only in what the Lord had assigned him. He says in 10:17, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Citing Jeremiah 9, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Yahweh, the Lord, who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Speaking according to the Lord, after the manner the Lord would speak, is boasting in the Lord. Paul is about to boast in verse 22 in his own ethnic heritage, his own language, his own culture, his own religious upbringing. But he says, this is foolish. This is fleshly boasting. And he wants everybody to know that this is not speaking the way the Lord would speak. He's not setting an example for the believers in how they should speak. He says, I'm putting on wolf's clothing and acting like a wolf. This is not boasting only in the cross. This is according to the flesh. This is folly. It's foolishness. Foolishness, over and over, he uses that word. Verses 19 to 20 are in several ways parallel to verse 4. He starts the topic in verse 4, and then he takes a break and comes back to it here in verse 19 and 20. Both sections he frames with an if. If one comes, if someone does these things, he says, as is actually happening among you. He's not saying hypothetically, what if this were to happen? He's pointing out, I see this happening in your church, and I'm addressing it. This is what's happening. Since this is happening, you're putting up with it. You bear with it. He uses that same word. You're putting up with it. You're bearing with it. Even gladly. Now, back in verse 4, he exposed the false teaching of the false apostles. He pulls back their disguise and shows that they come preaching another Jesus, not the Jesus the apostles proclaimed. A different spirit, one you did not receive, a different gospel, one you didn't hear from us, one you didn't accept from us. Verse 4, he exposes the false teaching of the false apostles. Verse 19 comes as a slap in the face, saying sarcastically, you are so wise that you gladly bear with or put up with fools. He's calling the false apostles fools. And in verse 20, now he exposes the corrosive character of the false apostles. You put up with it. This is, comes in staccato, short, terse statements. You put up with it if someone enslaves you, if someone devours, if someone takes, if someone self-exalts, if someone strikes you in the face. This is the abuse that the Corinthians were gladly putting up with. They were embracing the abuse of the false apostles. Notice Paul is not directly rebuking the false apostles here. He's rebuking the church for embracing and following and supporting bad leadership. Bad leaders can't lead if no one follows them. If no one will support them, then they're not leading anyone. Paul is looking at the church because he has a hearing with the church. He says, stop following ungodly leaders, because then they won't have anyone to lead. He already said back in verse 15, their end will correspond to their deeds, both the end of the false teacher and those who follow them. God will judge the false apostles, but the Corinthians ought to know better than to follow them. They ought to see their deeds, recognize their abuses, and walk away. They should recognize them by their fruits, and their character is rotten to the core. They're enslaving you, devouring, taking, self-exalting, striking you in the face, and you're putting up with it. No one can serve two masters, Jesus says. Paul says in Romans 6 that you are slaves to the one you obey. They're enslaving you. They're taking you captive to serve them, to do their bidding. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:24, not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy. For you stand firm in your faith. Paul puts himself in stark contrast to these servants of Satan who are taking the Corinthians captive to serve themselves. Paul refuses to bully, to domineer. Instead, he pursues their genuine joy in Jesus as he betrothed them to one husband, to Christ. He's not taking them for himself. He's pointing them to Jesus. He said in 2 Corinthians 4:5, what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Where the false teachers are fighting for the position of Lord over them, Paul is glad to humble himself to serve them for the Lord's sake. False teachers devour. Fire devours. In the parable of Jesus, satanic birds devour the gospel seed to prevent it from taking root. Luke chapter 8. The hypocritical scribes and Pharisees devour widows' houses. Luke 15. The prodigal son devours his father's property with prostitutes. The false teachers make a practice of parasitic violence and exploitation. They're devouring. Sam Storms writes this, true godly spirit-filled leaders don't exist for you to serve them. They exist to serve you. This was the precedent set by Jesus, who said of himself that he came not to be served, but to serve. Leaders aren't placed in the body of Christ so that their reputation, lifestyle, and bank account can increase at the expense of those who are led. Leaders lead so that those led might be ever more conformed to the image of Christ. And if such comes only at great cost to those in authority, so be it. For Jesus served his own by giving his life as a ransom for many. False teachers devour. False teachers take advantage. To take or to receive. This is, he simply uses this word to take. It's a very common word. It often shows up in lots of positive and lots of neutral contexts, but it can also be used in negative contexts for a violent seizing. As in Jesus' parable of the tenants who took the master's servants and beat one, killed another, stoned another. When the master sent his own son to them, they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Here Paul is using it in the context of false apostles seizing or laying hands on or taking advantage of. Paul uses this word again back in verse 8 of robbing other churches by taking support from them. In chapter 12, verse 16, it's translated, I got the better of you. He's accused by them of being cunning, crafty, taking them by deceit. But granting that I myself did not burden you, I was crafty, you say, and took you. Got the better of you by deceit. False teachers take you. False apostles are lifting themselves up. They're exalting themselves. They put on airs. They arrogantly boast. In the last chapter, Paul said, he wages spiritual warfare, tearing down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Isaiah chapter 2, the haughty looks of man shall be brought low, and the lofty pride of men shall be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. For the Lord of hosts has a day against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up. It shall be brought low. Paul says they're self-exalting and you're putting up with it. Paul says they go even so far as to strike you in the face. Jesus used this word in John chapter 18 when one of the officers of the high priest struck him in the face with his hand. Luke 22, those holding Jesus in Jewish custody were mocking and beating him. That's the word. Striking. Now most today take this as an almost certainly metaphorical language to refer to any kind of humiliating treatment. Except we know that the religious leaders of the day at times punished offenders by slapping them in the face. So it's quite possible that Paul actually meant this literally, that the false apostles were actually publicly shaming and dishonoring people. He's like, and you're putting up with it. And what's interesting is today we see false teachers who have people come forward so that they can strike them on the face or push them over, supposedly being slain in the spirit, being healed. And people are coming, showing up for that. This puts what Paul said back in chapter 7 into context. Make room in your hearts for us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have taken advantage of no one. You gladly bear with fools who enslave you, who devour, who seize, who self-exalt, who strike you in the face. This is a stunning disclosure of the aggressive authoritarianism and overbearing leadership tactics of the intruders, the false apostles. I repeat, let no one think me foolish. But even if you do, accept me as a fool so that I too may boast a little. What I am saying with this boastful confidence, I say not as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many boast according to the flesh, I too will boast. For you gladly bear with fools, being so wise yourself. For you bear with it if someone makes slaves of you or devours you or takes advantage of you or puts on airs or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. Paul has exposed the corrupt character of the false apostles. The Corinthians should be ashamed that they had been so duped, so taken advantage of, so abused and shamefully treated. But Paul takes the shame himself. It's to his shame, he says somewhat sarcastically, that he was too weak to take advantage of them like that. He was too weak to bully them, to lord it over them, to forcefully domineer, push through and get his own way. He was too weak. He was weak with the meekness and gentleness of Christ, the humility of Christ. You see, Paul shows, even in this foolish boasting, by his character, by his example, that weakness is the way. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Paul is weak, and he goes on in this passage to boast, to glory, to exalt in not his strengths, but his weakness. Because that is the path of following Jesus. Whatever anyone else dares boast of, I speak as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. Even in Paul's weakness, even in his dishonor, he is bold. Whatever someone is bold, he is also bold. He qualifies this, I'm speaking like a fool. He said back in chapter 10, verse 2, I beg of you that when I'm present, I may not have to show boldness with such confidence as I count on showing against some who suspect us of walking according to the flesh. Paul is weak. He begs that he will not have to show the boldness he fears he will have to show when he visits. He says in chapter 10, verse 12, not that we dare or are bold to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves. But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. He isn't bold enough. He doesn't dare to measure himself against others. Those who do, he says, are foolish. They're without understanding. Now here, in this passage, he foolishly dares to boast of whatever another dares to boast of. He's comparing himself, and he's saying, I'm not in the least inferior to your super apostles. He's putting on the wolf's clothing as a sheep and says, I can play their game and come out ahead. Yet in his heart, he's harmless as a dove. He is putting on the wolf's clothing to caricature the wolves, to expose their character, to wake up the sheep, to set them free from the clutches of the wolves. He says, I'll parody the false teachers so that you get it, so that you see what's going on, what they're doing to you. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Jesus said, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Father, help us to be discerning, to be wise. Help us to see the folly of false teaching. Help us, Jesus, to know your voice, so that we can discern lies, people masquerading as genuine but in truth deceivers who want to steal and kill and destroy. Lord, thank you for giving us your Spirit. Thank you for giving us your Word written that we can go back to over and over again and test those things that are being said. Help us to be those discerning, like the Bereans, who heard the word with gladness but searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. Lord, what we hear on the radio, on social media, give us hearts that are sold out to you, that have our hearts and our affections fixed only on you. Give us a simple and pure devotion to you, our Lord and our Rescuer. And help us to reach out in love and wisdom to those around us who are being deceived. Give us wisdom to know how best to reach out with truth and with love. To serve and love others for their good, for their eternal good. Lord, we long to see more people come into a relationship with you, to be set free from lies, from bondage, from being taken advantage of. Set free into a relationship with you where they can know the joy of being freely forgiven. What a gift you've given us. What a price you paid. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for paying my price in full.